Greetings and welcome to the Reclaim Your Heart Summit. I'm Deborah Hammond. This summit is a safe, fun, and exhilaratingly powerful space for personal growth and heartfelt change. It's my intention that you take away at least one piece of practical wisdom from our 21 experts that puts you on a path of healing and renewal. By listening today, you will hear a truth that may cause a shift in your own ability to create a life you love. So I'm especially excited to introduce our guest today, and I've got an unorthodox introduction, and on top of it, I'm going to preempt our guest, who is a consummate storyteller, by telling a story. So once upon a time, long ago, I had a roommate who adored Meryl Streep, and she told me that one day Meryl Streep came to her college, so my friend went to hear her talk and then lined up to talk to her afterwards. Finally, there stood Meryl Streep in person, the dream come true, and my friend was so excited she blurted out, "You're my biggest fan." So having Bill Bauman today on the Reclaim Your Heart Summit is thrilling for me, and when I stumble in and say, "Bill, you're my biggest fan," I know Bill will calmly reply, "Yes, Deborah, I am, and the biggest fan of everyone listening and not listening today." So please join me in welcoming the modern mystic, inspiring visionary, awakener of the heart, and your biggest fan, Bill Bauman. Hello, Bill.
Oh, my goodness, Deborah. That was an amazing story, and I'm embarrassed to say, yes, I am your biggest fan. And yes, I'm the biggest fan of every one of us who is gathered in this moment together. That was adorable. What a precious story. Thank you.
Well, don't make me mad, because I've put the burden of introducing yourself on you, so you have to talk about your accomplishments and your story and how you came to develop this loving, healing work that you do. So all the things.
Yeah. Well, as you can imagine, I'm always a little embarrassed to talk about myself, but what the heck? Here we are. So yeah, let's do it. Well, I do want to say to everyone who is here, just welcome, welcome, welcome. And in the spirit of Reclaim Your Heart, in the spirit of the theme, the focus, the energy that this teleseries is all about, I really want to welcome you to my heart, and I want to welcome me to your heart. And I've got this just occurred to me in the moment, but I've got this invitation to all of us, and that is that we just join each other in our hearts and in the heart, maybe the heart of creation, the heart of life, the heart of the divine, the heart of everything. Because my deepest, deepest sense is, and then I'll get to whatever my story is in just a second, is that maybe if we had to choose one place to live in our life, you know, live in our mind, live in our bodies, live in our aura, live in the external world, I feel like for so many of us, living in our heart is perhaps the richest, deepest, most wisdom-filled, most love-generating space that could ever, ever, ever be anywhere. So that's been my journey, and I'll just give you the brief rundown about what a mess I am or have been. And it goes like this. I really, all the way from birth on, I think I specialized in the lack of love. I'm sure love was out there, but somehow I never could feel it. It never touched me to my depths. And as a result, as you can imagine, I spent the first couple decades at least, if not more, of my life just really not just questing for love, if you will, but feeling deeply empty of love, and therefore, of course, very insecure, very inadequate, anxiety-filled, and all the other stuff, all the other human energies, feelings, emotions that come when somehow we're not being filled up from within by love. And so I tried a whole bunch of things, and somehow in my early 20s, 22, 23, somewhere around there, 24, I was living in Europe for several years and going to school in Belgium, actually. Everybody goes to Belgium, of course. You've heard of it? Yes. Oh, good. I was in one of those terrible existential downturns, you know. My existential anxiety was awful. My existential identity was in the pits. See, I'm such a fun person to be around, aren't I? It's just marvelous. And it was one of those deals where I just hit bottom. And I looked inside myself. There was nothing left. There was nothing of me, nothing of anything I believed anymore. It was, I think, what we call the pits. And in the middle of that, this is for some reason I never ever ever forget this. In the middle of that moment of, I would say, despair, but you know, I don't want to get too melodramatic about it. But my heart showed up. It just like poof, like morphed out of nowhere. And it spoke to me, and it said, "Try me." And of course, you can imagine my response. First of all, instant shock. Second, like what's this? After the words "try me," it said, "Try love." It's like you've tried this, you've tried that. How about try love from me, from your heart? And in that moment and in the moments after, all of a sudden I started to see that I had been unconsciously looking outside of myself for love. And it's not that that's not helpful. It's not that it's not valid. It's not that it can't work to whatever strong degree. But all of a sudden it occurred to me, oh my gosh, that the love I've been looking for has been living all along, hidden from me, I'm sure, in my heart. And so I was telling Deborah right before that we talked here that when I got this invitation from her to participate in this, and first of all, I saw it was her because I'm her biggest fan, of course, and second, because I saw the title, Reclaiming Your Heart. Heart, reclaim your heart, and again after loss and after longing and all of that, just everything in me said yes. There's some, not just something I can share here, but there's some gift of the heart. And so, like, my heart gifted me back in my early 20s, and of course I'm 25 now, so that was a couple years ago. No, that's a really bad joke, really bad age calculation.
I believe it.
Thank you. You're my biggest fan, too. We ought to hang out more together, Deborah. This works. So I feel like there's the heart, your heart, our heart, wants to gift you, and that's my sense of our time together, is we're hanging out in the middle of heart. We're bathing, if you will, in the bathtub of love, and not in the same way, of course, necessarily, that it opened to me at that point and said, "Try me," but in a way that's just unique to you. I feel like love in and from your heart has some gift to give you. So back to my cute little story. So from there on, I did that for some reason. Love was there, and all of a sudden, it felt to me like, "Oh, you know what? I think this can work. I think I can kind of spelunk down into my heart and explore that." And I did that, and I made my whole life about love. How it happened, I don't know. Why it happened, I don't know. But somehow it happened, and everything in me just said yes. And I started, more than looking at life through my mind, you know, my mind, which is, oh, this is good, that's bad, this is right, that's wrong, you know, all the ways our minds are naturally trained. They're three-dimensional thinking machines, if you will. But I started perceiving those same things through through my heart. And I watched how my heart saw those very same things. There were certain people in my life back there that I really did not like. There were certain cultures I had just a really difficult time with, and I lived with some of these cultures, and I'm not talking about the Belgian culture here either. And then I started looking at them through the eyes of my heart, and all of a sudden I started seeing through all the behaviors that irritated me, and I started seeing their heart. And all of a sudden, even those behaviors that were so obnoxious to me and irritating, they stopped bothering me, because somehow I could hear the deeper person, the deeper motivation, the deeper soul of that person through the behavior. And for some reason, the behaviors kind of went into neutral, at least in my experience. And they could be just as externally obnoxious, but it was only my mind that was calling them obnoxious. My heart was saying, oh, look at the beautiful person here. So this is why I'm Deborah's biggest fan and why I'm your biggest fan, because I think from that moment on, in a way that's just deepened and deepened and expanded and expanded and fine-tuned and all sorts of things like that, all I've done, and it's a simple, it's not even a formula, but I'll say it, it's a simple formula in life, is I just look at everything. I look at me, I look at what's going on in me, I look at you, I look at world events through the really non-judgmental, loving, embracing, compassionate, feeling, sensitive, healing, nurturing, beautiful eyes of the heart. And so I am just delighted to invite all of us to spend these sacred moments in the heart. And with this, I'm starting to feel guilty about hogging the microphone. Deborah, let me turn this back over to you, if you would like.
Oh, no, please. This is exactly, I mean, you've already opened up this really delicious, beautiful space of love for us. So we're just basking in it. Not to worry.
Okay.
So, how do we even get in touch with what our heart's trying to gift us if we're feeling wounded by life events, by other people? How do we translate that heartbreak, the loss and longing, into love, into life?
Well, you know, I actually, what's kind of interesting is that when I stopped myself, that's exactly the direction I wanted to go. So, oh, are we on the same page or what here, Deborah? Too much. Thank you for the question. I think the question is tremendously important, because I don't know about most of us, but I'll just say many of us don't really find the love of and in our heart unless or until we've like tried something else and we're wounded and it hurts and we're in pain and sort of,
yeah,
like it's the equivalent. Yeah, it's go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm Jewish. I study with a text of mystical rabbis, and they talk about the fact that wholeness comes only when we've been shattered. And I think there's something there that I don't know, something about that life experience that brings us about full circle, and we realize, oh, geez, I've been whole the whole time, and I didn't even know it.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt, but that wounded by life.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful point you made, and I love what the rabbi said, and in a sense, it's a, what I want to say, this is kind of a judgmental word, but it's one of those sad truths, I think, that somehow we never get to the real treasure of life, or rarely, until we're wounded, until we're disappointed, until we're hurt, until whatever we're trying, even if what we're trying worked well for a while. It's like then something shifts, and then all of a sudden we're let down, or we're I don't know, the rug's pulled out from under us, or to use the words that you beautifully use, we're wounded. And so if I go back to the question is, how can we access our hearts? How can we heal our hearts when we seem wounded, or everything in us seems shattered? That word shattered is a big word. I've basically spent my life among other things, being a deep, loving healer to so many people. And so I've spent a lot of decades just swimming around in a lot of people's pain. And this may sound strange, but this is kind of a heart expression, if you will. And I love people's pain. And I don't mean that in any insensitive way, but I love the pain because if I really become one with a person's pain and look at that pain through the eyes of my heart, what I see is, oh, this pain is an energy, is an emotion, it's a feeling generated from the deepest soul, the deepest truth within that person, as a part of an awakening, as a part of a ritual, a path, a rite of passage, where it's like through the pain a person can like break through. And so what I've noticed, and I think it's really generalizable, and I've noticed it just with thousands of people, is that when we are deeply in pain, when we are wounded, when we're shattered, when we're down at the bottom of the barrel just barely breathing, that's always, always, always a porch right in front of a doorway or a portal, and it's that sort of final primal scream within us that pushes open the door into something new. It's like you know what astrophysicists talk about in the universe, that there are these black holes, and what a black hole does is it like sucks all the light into itself, and the light ceases to become light. It ceases to become what it was, and that's what happens with us. It's like when we're wounded, damaged, shattered, it's like all the light just kind of dissipates into this black hole. And of course the black hole feels awful. Oh, torture, pain. But what astrophysicists suspect strongly is that as that light morphs into the black hole, goes through it, on the other side of the black hole is a whole new universe. So it creates, it's sort of like in the Christian tradition, death, tomb, resurrection, the old self or part of the old me dies off, and the black hole is like the tomb. It goes into the tomb, but it morphs, it moves into a whole new creation. And so, and again, I so do not mean this insensitively. If we're wounded, if you're wounded, if you're in pain, if you're feeling lack, empty, or whatever it may be, if love eludes you in whatever way, it's because in the black hole that you are in, or maybe have been in, or will be in, or whatever, in that black hole, there's this amazing opportunity. And today, I'd like to language that by saying, it's the way your heart has chosen to, as the excuse and opportunity to awaken itself anew within you. And so that's what happened to me in my 20s. And frankly, it's happened multiple times over in entirely new ways each time. And so a different door opens to me each time, and I go through that door, and it's almost always preceded by pain. It seems to be the human ritual, if you will, just like the four seasons. It's like, oh, we have spring, new life, summer, yes, living it fully. Autumn, things are slowing down. Winter, we're dead. And then it's sort of the human cycle of duality, happiness, sadness, but with each movement through that season, it's like we awaken to a new something. And so every door I've gone through, it's opened me up to a world, frankly, that I never knew existed. Even if I'd read about it, I just never really knew that it existed. And so I've traveled all these spaces, and each time it's been my heart that's been the tour guide, that's been the way shower, that's been the door opener. And so for any of us, all of us who are here, I just want to invite us in this precious, beautiful moment, invite us to your heart, which maybe in this moment is saying your version of, hey, I'm here. I'm here like I never, ever was before. I'm here. I'm awake. And I know you hurt. I know it's awful. But it's springtime in your heart. It's love here in your heart, ready to talk to you in a new way, ready to move into you in a new way, ready to invite you into itself in a new way. If there's love here, this may be a different kind of love. And if I may really overgeneralize, I'm sure, I think a lot of times the reason our pain around love is so deep, we're so shattered, we're so hurt, we're so devastated, is because even if we haven't bet the ranch on the style of love that we've been in, we've counted on it a lot, and it let us down. And so maybe that version of love, we just outgrew. Maybe it served us for however long. That version of love, style of love, flavor of love, quality of love, maybe it was rich and juicy for a while, and maybe it fed us and nurtured us, and through it we could nurture others. But maybe it was just time for that to, let me do the Christian metaphor again, to die, for that to go into the tomb. And in the tomb, of course, we're experiencing the loss of it, the nowhereness of ourselves, because we don't have that precious tool, that precious ingredient. But it went into the black hole so that it could morph, just like the butterfly coming out of the cocoon that the caterpillar so craftily created and turned to mush inside of, so that a whole new creation could happen. So in the middle of our pain, and this, I think, goes back, Deborah, to your question, how can we access our heart? I think we can just, and I apologize if this sounds too simple, we can just show up to it. We can just take wherever we are in the pain we're in, and we can just say, well, let me try my heart. I've got nothing else going here. And maybe in this moment, the only show in town is this amazing heart that's maybe orchestrated and been the orchestrator of my life the whole time. That maybe my heart is the one that shut down that quality of love also, not so I would hurt, but so that through the lack of that love that was there, I can open up to something really, really, really different. I spent some time recently. I do a lot of what I call personal intensives. So I spent a half a day recently in one of those with somebody who had an amazingly wonderful relationship. It was so marvelous. And it was strange because almost overnight, it died. It's like almost overnight, it's like this great love affair was done. And she couldn't understand it, and she was devastated. And so we were talking about it, and right before she came to me, I'm going to use a terrible term, Mr. Right appeared. And the love of the previous relationship that just died, I believe, orchestrated by her heart. Her heart, in effect, said, without her hearing it or being clear about it, you know what, it's time to make room for something else. It's time to make room for the kind of love, quality of love, that is really yours. It's really the love that fits and bespeaks the bigger self that you are. And we're all getting bigger all the time. We're growing, and I don't mean that in a physical weight sense, by the way, but we're all growing and getting bigger, and we're expanding, and we're becoming more and more of what our potential is. And so our love, our quality of love, has to grow with that. So just to say that one other final little way before I put the ball back in Deborah's court, I'm going to really shift here, and as you've been listening to me, I know you've been listening to your own heart. And oftentimes I'll say to people or to groups that I talk to, listen to my words with one ear, but by far with your better ear, listen to your own heart. Listen to your own soul. Listen to the movement within you. Listen to the stirring of grace, perhaps, within you. And so I feel like saying to you right now, not so much as a teaching, but just as an experience, listen to your heart right now. Notice how your heart is stirring love within you right now. Notice how your heart, sort of like a gentle blender, if you will, is just blending all the ingredients of love that have been there, but in a way that's sort of like that caterpillar moving to the butterfly, like that light going into the black hole and coming out into a whole new universe that's a new creation, that this love that's being blended is coming into a new form. Maybe your heart's opening the kitchen cupboard and getting a dash of extra light and putting that on it, or opening another cupboard and finding a little jar of grace and opening that and sprinkling a lot of grace in it. Maybe there's a lot of sort of growth ingredient in another closet or cupboard, and your heart's putting some of that in and stirring it in, so that it, this love in your heart grows, so that the love that's about to appear, whether today or tomorrow or next week or 3 months from now, so that the love that's about to appear is a love worthy of this beautiful, beautiful being that you are, so that it's a love that can match you and can start to draw to you either the person or the opportunities or the business or the income or the whatever it is out there that you feel like you're lacking. So I deeply believe so much that our heart is the most creative force in the world. I spent a lot of years, probably 25 years, as a licensed psychologist, and did a lot of intense therapy with people. But I also did a lot of consulting, and I remember consulting with this one psychiatric unit in a hospital. They invited me to come in because I once had a holistic health center and I knew a lot about holistic health and psychology and spirituality. And they invited me to do an all-day training with their staff to help them move. They were trying to become a holistically oriented psychiatric unit. And I remember saying to them, I put them through all sorts of exercises, and a lot of it was, in the language of the day, it was to help move them from their left brain to their right brain, to help move them from their head to their heart. And I remember saying to them, you know, the left brain is of course a big model in medicine. We all know that, and it's a big model in psychiatry. We all know that, and it's a big model in psychotropic drugs or psychiatric drugs. We all know that. But if we're talking real healing, if we're talking something that will stir people at their depths and move their current stuckness to a place of life, that happens in the heart. So for you to be, yes, skilled technically, skilled, what's another word, in terms of all the theories and the approaches and the mindsets and the left brain, the head, marvelous, yes, important, but if you're a healer, if you're a healer of your patients, and to you and me, I would say, if we're a healer of ourselves, if we're a healer of our hurt, of our pain, if we're a healer in a relationship of other people, if we're running a business and we're a healer of those who work with us and for us, if we're working a job and we're a healer of the environment in which we work, that happens in the heart. The magic of that healing, that opening, that awakening, that empowering, that bringing to life is in the heart, and it's in love. I've watched myself just spend time with so many people where, you know, there was nothing I could say. There was no theory I could give them. There was no interpretation, no mindset that could save the day for somebody who was in such deep, deep pain. But I noticed when I just sat with them and loved them, just sat with them and held them, just sat with them and just was quiet and sat with them in the silence of their own agony, amazing, amazing, amazing things happen. And they happened because we met in the heart, and their heart just opened. So the heart, your heart, is where the magic is. Your heart is where the healing is. Your heart is where love is. And love can do just about anything that we can imagine. And I've watched love do all sorts of things that I never imagined love could do. So you're very magical, you. And you're magical especially because you were born with this amazing heart, this treasure chest of magical gifts, of miraculous potential, of grace-filled possibilities, of divine interventional expression. And your heart knows innately how to do all that. So we don't need to go to our heart and take charge. We need to go to our heart, and this is back to Deborah's beautiful question, and just let go. Just like getting into a bathtub and sinking into the water, and we let go. And we let the water do the job. We let the warmth or the fire energy in the water just soak through our skin and frankly nurture us. We let the water love us. When we walk into the woods, we don't try to make the woods do anything for us. We just let the woods, we let the nature just absorb itself into us and renew us just by its own loving energy. Strange to say, when we breathe air, prana, chi, into our lungs and through our lungs, into our bloodstream and through our bloodstream, into every cell of our body, every cell of our brain, we're being loved by that prana. That air is awakening within us and giving to us life-giving energies, beautiful life force that just brings us alive. When we look out into the world around us, and when we let ourselves just feel, well, loving, the quality of that love goes out and it touches everything in the space, and it renews it. Our love, your love, is that exquisite, that powerful, that delicious, that unendingly nurturing. I believe that the biggest creative force in all of creation is love. And it's love with a big capital L, and it's a big capital L that lives everywhere. And the greatest story about that, I think, is that all that love that lives everywhere, like in a hologram, is contained in your heart. Even if in our pain we can't see it, know it, get it, but it's there, and it's just waiting for just the right moment. And this may be your moment, just the right moment to say, hey, open your eyes, look, I'm here. Come, get into my bathtub. Sink into my warm waters. Let me heal you. Let me heal your pain. Let me nurture your poor body that's paid the price for this misery that you're in. Let me take the emotion of woundedness, the feeling of disastrous victimization, the awful emptiness within you, and let me, love, hold it and hold it and hold it and put it in the bathtub with us and nurture it and massage it and shape-shift it and mold it anew and create it differently and make it a bigger version of me, love. Let me do the work. Me, love, your heart. Because, yes, it seems like, gee, this is just one heart of one person. But I, your heart, am the heart of the universe and of the universes. I'm so much bigger than you can ever imagine. Do me. Come to me. Sit in me. And let me nurture you like very few other human beings can do. And Deborah, let me just pass this right back over to you.
Boy, is that beautiful. Thank you. I'm a little dumbfounded.
Unfair of me. I apologize.
It's okay. I'm just going to keep basking in that warm bath of love. So to our lovely monkey mind, there's this contradiction that as we open our hearts and we become more vulnerable, is where the intelligence of love leaps in and the magic happens, the healing, the peace, the love. What we're really seeking is there inside of us. So it's knowing that place of the black hole is really the point of love, that's the beginning of the path,
yeah,
into the light, and being strong in faith, that's the magic, and that's the promise, that's the guarantee,
mm-hmm,
and that
mm-hmm,
we can trust our hearts, and that new kind of vulnerability. I mean, we've been wounded, so we want to protect ourselves, but in fact, to open the heart is to be more vulnerable and to follow this love to exactly the place we're longing for. So there's that, am I grasping that there's this, to our mind at least, this contradiction, this almost counterintuitive thing that,
yeah,
our heart is asking us to do?
Oh, wow. I could not have used better words, Deborah. You summarized it. You interpreted it just exactly perfectly. And for some reason, since we're kind of talking to our mind about this right now, I just for some reason feel like adding just a little perspective I've gained, and I don't deserve the credit for gaining it, because it's just in the last 10 years or so, I notice a lot of the books coming out about intelligence. They seem to be talking about three kinds of intelligence that we all have, and this is just from the literature. The first, of course, is cognitive intelligence. That's what we usually call the left brain or the conscious mind, based on the cerebral cortex, etc. The second is what the books are calling emotional intelligence, which is energetically centered in the heart. Like, for example, they found the same kind of neurons as are in the brain in and around the heart, physically. And that emotional intelligence, of course, is a feeling intelligence. It's a sensitive intelligence. It's a whole different vibrational style of knowing and of clarity and of thinking, but it's just as rich. So we've got cognitive intelligence in the head. We've got emotional intelligence, or really love intelligence in the heart. And then they talk about primal intelligence, which is, that's come out in the last, I don't know, 5 years or so. Primal intelligence in the gut, where they've discovered, for example, that the large intestines has, 50 million neurons, exactly like the neurons in the brain. Fascinating. So that's just a little, every now and then I'll say something that is designed to have somebody say, oh, gee, he knows something. So I hope I've achieved it.
But this is fascinating. Yeah.
It is. It's just the scientific research at all. And we're in a society that says, oh, if it's scientifically researched, then I should probably believe it, you know. So it's, but this primal intelligence is what we call gut-level knowing. You know, I have a gut-level feeling, I have a gut-level knowing, I have a gut-level sense. That's intelligence. And so what I've done with that little bit of research and the way they're putting it out into the world here for us to consume is that there are three levels of intelligence. Just like, Freud would have said, oh, there's the conscious mind, there's the subconscious mind, there's the unconscious mind. And interestingly, because I've been allowed to see and experience energies in so many ways, the energy of these three intelligences just happens to be in the exact same place, would you believe, as the energies of the conscious mind, the subconscious mind, which is very much around the heart and the solar plexus, and the unconscious mind, which is very much around the root chakra and the first two chakras. And so just a fascinating little coincidence, I'm sure, which basically says that, wow, if I'm going to be, this is a terrible way to say it, if I'm going to be really smart, then I will really open myself up to all three of these intelligences. I will be cognitively focused. I will be heartfully, lovingly knowing. That's the deeper wisdom. We've often heard there's knowledge in the mind, there's wisdom in the heart, which is very, very true. And I will be grounded, this is the primal intelligence, I will be grounded in the deeper, oh, what's a good word, deeper energetic knowing of my being. And then if we give equal weight to all of those, they start unifying. It's like in unity there is strength. And then we have an integrated knowing, if you will. So I'm just talking about it from the mind's point of view, three minds, if you will, in order to say, because you notice the whole time before, we were in the heart. And you notice a whole different energy between when we are in the heart and when we're in the mind. But I think the reason that Deborah beautifully and wisely led us to the mind to explain this is so our minds, right now, hypnotic suggestion coming up, I have to warn you, spoiler alert, so that our minds could say, oh, it's not that the heart is in opposition to me. It's not that the heart shouldn't be trusted. Oh, the heart is one-third of the slice of the pie. I'm one-third of the slice of the pie. The gut is one-third of the slice of the pie. We're partners. So our mind, beautiful hypnotic suggestion. I'm liking this. I've never done this hypnotic suggestion before. This is too good. So our mind can basically say, oh, I can partner with my heart. What a cool deal. So I want to share a cute little story, and I hope I'm not taking too much time here, Deborah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, there's a whole other story that I won't go into in any depth, but when was it? 30 years ago. I'm old. 30 years ago, this deep voice said to me inside, said, Bill, it's time to unlearn everything you've ever learned. So I spent 3 years just unlearning everything I learned. So any theory that popped into my mind, I just set it to the side. Any interpretation, set it to the side. Any assumption, set it to the side. Any paradigm, any value, any principle, I mean, you name it, I just kept emptying my mind. And after 3 years, I hit bottom. All of a sudden, my mind was empty. And by the way, a little sidebar commentary, I had no idea how many thousands upon thousands of layers of ideas and thoughts and beliefs lived in this cute little mind of mine. So anyway, they were gone. And I had no clue where that was going. I just knew it was something I needed to do. So I looked at my mind, as you can do with an inner eye. I looked at my mind and I saw it empty. I saw my mind kind of looking back at me, and now keep in mind, this was long after I had opened my heart, and my mind all on its own, with no cue from me, I had no idea it was going to happen, I watched my mind create the equivalent of an umbilical cord. It wasn't that, but the equivalent of that, And I watched it put that right down into the middle of my heart, and it plugged it right into my heart. And my mind from then on decided all on its own, you know what? The heart is where the wisdom is. I'm going to take the wisdom or the truth of the heart up into me. Then I can use my technical skills to help Bill figure out what to do with it. So my mind became, in a sense, the servant of the deeper truth of the heart. Or I could go back to just what I said before about partners. It's like my mind feels wonderful about being this partner to my heart. And it truly is, at least in my cute little system here within myself, it's a beautiful partnership, and it's a beautiful oneness, if you will, of intelligence. So I just felt like adding all of that to your beautiful summary, Deborah. Thank you so much.
That's a really important point, that our mind is not an enemy. We are to love it. And it's a partner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting. Do you want to take a few minutes and lead us in a meditation?
I would adore that. Just adore that.
Thank you. Thought I would never ask, right?
I've been sitting here saying, will she never ask for a meditation? What's going on? No, I wasn't. I was too busy being your fan to do that. So really, I'd be honored to take probably 5, 6, 7 minutes, I'm guessing, just because of the time factor here, and really express in the background some words. And I think in this moment I feel inspired to use the pronoun I, capital I, and the I is your heart. So the I that I'll be expressing is not me, Bill, your buddy and your friend and your fan, but the I is maybe your heart speaking to you. And then so just be with this however you want. And if at any point you feel like just ignoring the words and just kind of being with your heart or listening more to your heart, that would by far be the thing to do. So when you're ready, I'll start talking as your heart. Well, hi there. Thank you. Thank you for picking up the phone earlier. Thank you for following my impulse, my invitation, my inspiration to be a part of this precious hour. And especially thank you for touching me and letting me touch you. Just be right now in that touch. Experience in your own way me literally just touching you softly, gently, so as not to disturb, and yet deeply, profoundly. So while on the one hand my touch is like a gentle massage, the deeper effects of it without being felt are more like the deep penetrating fingers of a body worker who moves those muscles deep within. I'm here in these few moments to awaken a new muscle of love. I'm here in this sacred space where it's just you and just me, because I've been waiting for quite a while for you and me just to have a precious, sacred moment together. I have so much to say to you, and I would like today to be our first of many, many meetings where you come to me and I come to you, where you sit in the living room of me, your heart, and I sit in the living room of you, your person. And we just share. And maybe at first, instead of me having a lot to say to you, I just want to hold you. I just want to nurture you. And if you feel a deep wound, whether from lack of love or lack of anything, or just the woundedness of just being humanly alive, please, just let me love you. Let me love you. We seem to have put our creation together in a way where we try so many other approaches to love before we go to that one place where real love, true love, dependable love, count-on-able love, profound, foundational love, a love that never quits, a love that can heal any wound in an instant, is. We're here in that moment now. You found me, and I found you, and I have a treasure chest filled with abundance, filled with beauty, filled with inner peace, filled with tranquility, filled with aliveness, filled with the deepest truth of you. Yes, the deepest possible truth of you. For yes, your mind, your conscious mind, knows who you are from a certain aspect, to a certain degree, but I know the real you, the deep you, the deserving, worthy you, the lovely, lovable, love-filled, remarkable, exceptional, and dynamic you. I know you. And in my treasure chest, I have everything necessary to bring that you alive, and alive, and alive, and alive. And I ask little of you, for really, I have the tools. The one thing I ask right now is just be with me. Give me, if you will, just your attention, your conscious awareness, your presence. Just like you're here right now, come and just be. Be in the melodious waters of my love. Feel in the heartbeat of my physical heart. Feel me just massaging with every heartbeat my love into your nervous system, your glandular system, your organs, your cells and atoms, your subatomic particles, your mind, your brain. And then, after just being here, after just giving me your attention, let go. Let go in whatever way you feel right about. You don't need to push yourself. Letting go into me, as Deborah said, is often difficult because we are trying so hard to protect ourselves from the pain that we've got anyway. But if you feel like taking a step out of self-protection and stepping into me and letting go into me, letting go in a surrender-like mode where you just assume or trust that maybe this heart has something for me that I can't get anywhere else, and it's a very valuable something I need, let go. And if you feel like it right now, just let go. Right now, just let go. Right now, let go. And I will take you in. hold you and nurture you, love you, and fill you. For after all, as my final expression to you, I am your biggest fan. And Deborah, thank you so much. And to everyone here, wow, what a sacred, sacred, beautiful time we've had. I love you. And my own spirit will be very much there like a little guardian angel in your life, just supporting you in your healing, in your expansion, and in a way that supports you and your heart merging into this exquisite, heart-filled, heart-centered self with a life that's just so beautiful and so deserving to be celebrated. Thank you so much.
Bill, thank you. And we love you. You've given us a great gift.
Yeah, thank you so much, Deborah. It has been such a joy.
Our pleasure. My pleasure.